Thanksgiving when we get to our gospel reading. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. Pastor Moline is in Missouri visiting family. His brother is back right now from the Ukraine, and we are very, very thankful for his safety. He also got a big promotion. He is now Major Craig Moline, and so Craig, if you're watching, congratulations, and welcome back to the United States. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, number 913, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a bulletin for the day. The propers are on the inside. Readings for the day are on the back page. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to receive your gifts. Heavenly Father, we need the strength that comes by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word and sacrament. Each and every day, we fight against sin. We fight against the world. We fight against Satan. We fight against all the temptations to turn away from you and your word. Heavenly Father, fill us by the power of the Spirit with the confidence that knowing Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the grave, we too can conquer the temptations of the world. Be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and strengthen us as we hear your word. Lord God, be with all those who are separated from your house, your word, this day. Give them strength and comfort, drive away their fear, and Heavenly Father, in your good time, bring them back so that they can hear and receive and rejoice with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord God, all these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hymn 913.
number 73, page 184. Please stand as you're able.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the intro appointed for the day. Be to God on high.
And on earth peace on earth for men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee. We glorify Thee, we give Thee.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church with your perpetual mercy. And because of our frailty, we cannot but fall. Keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the words of our gradual as found in the bulletin.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day, 689, "Let Me Be Thine Forever," 689.
Thank you.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard just a moment ago from Galatians chapter 5, especially these words. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're at war. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are at war. I'm not talking about the red state, blue state, 50-some days till the election kind of war that seems to be around us. I'm not talking about the state of Nebraska versus the Big Ten war that's going on right now. I'm not talking about rioters in the street and promote the blue, that kind of a war. All those things are very real. They are out there. They're a fruit of sin. But that's not the war that I'm talking about. And that's not the war that God's Word is talking with us about today as well. God's Word for today is teaching us a war that is very real. I need your mic. This war is not with technology either. This war, God's Word teaches us, is the war that we have on the inside. The war between the Spirit, the new life that God has given us, and the old Adam, the old flesh that still clings tenaciously to us. My friends, this war is real. This war is a war that each one of us faces. We can ignore it. We can pretend it's not there. We can try to use tools that God gives us as we battle in this war that are not given to us in Scripture. But it doesn't change the fact that this war is before us each and every day of our lives. My friends, you are baptized. You have been born again by water and the Spirit, John chapter 3. You have been given new life in Him. This is God's Word, born from above. Not a choice, not a decision, but a gift of God. God has given you this new life, as He says in the last verse of our text. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You didn't do that. God did it in you and for you in the waters of holy baptism. As Easter and Good Friday were delivered to you in the font, new life in Jesus Christ. You're a Christian. You're born again. You have new life in Jesus. So, why do you keep sinning? It's a fair question, isn't it? Why do you keep sinning? Oh, you know you do. You can pretend you don't, but you know you do. God's Word is clear. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We sin daily. We sin much. This is the war that goes on inside of every Christian. This war doesn't go on inside of unbelievers, inside of pagans. This is a Christian battle and a Christian war. And this is exactly what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us about here in Galatians chapter 5. We're at war. You are at war. My friends, there's a lot of ways that people can deal with this war. One is you can resolve to clean up your act. You can resolve, like a New Year's Eve resolution, to do better. We do it all the time, don't we? Oh, I'm going to stop this sin. Oh, I'm going to start this new God-pleasing habit. We make a decision in our mind. We resolve to do it and try really hard. And then what happens? We turn around and do just the opposite. What happens? In spite of our best intentions and our best efforts, we sin. We keep right on sinning. Maybe we even sin more. Some would teach you that if you are really, really a Christian, if you are really serious about being a Christian, then you can achieve perfection on this side of heaven. It's up to you. You just need to work harder. My friends, perfectionism is a lie because it goes against God's clear word. No matter how hard you try, you cannot be perfect as the Lord your God is perfect. You can't do it. Bible passages like Galatians 5 and Romans 7 make that crystal clear. So what do? Well, if I can't be perfect, why should I even try? We fall off the horse in the other ditch. We think, oh, there's forgiveness, right? So I can do what I want. God's word doesn't apply to me anymore, not that word of law. And we can have a libertinism, technically it's antinomianism, where the law doesn't apply anymore. Some theologians have called it cheap grace. Christ has won the forgiveness of sins for the whole world, but we cheapen it when we think how we live doesn't really matter. My friends, how do we balance these two very serious and very common errors among us? To think that it's up to us to achieve perfection, or to think that God's word of law doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit teaches us today. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. My friends, the Holy Spirit is calling you to be holy. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit holies you. The Holy Spirit holied you in the waters of holy baptism, washing you clean, putting on a robe of righteousness. But that old Adam, that sinful flesh, still clings to you. And it will until the day you die. And that's the battle. That's the war. And this war is very real. And this is what the war looks like. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The old Adam fights against the new life in Christ that is alive in you. This battle is going on, and it is real. The desires of the spirit are against the desires of the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. My friends, trying harder, making a resolution, resolving to clean up your act, these things are futile efforts. You do not have the power in you. You can't do it. And yet God calls you to a life of holy living. Is God calling us to do the impossible? Is God setting before us something to give him a good laugh in heaven? Now's the time for the question that is really behind all of these writings that have to deal with this struggle between the spirit and the flesh. Do you need to be perfect to get into heaven? I want you to think about that. We'll answer it a little later. Do you need to be perfect to get into heaven? Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Verse 19 of Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. It's not even an all-inclusive list. It goes on and on and on, things like these. And then the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, I warned you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you need to be perfect to get into heaven? Galatians 5:19 sure teaches that. Oh, I'm okay with about 80% of that list. God doesn't grade on a curve. All or nothing. The Holy Spirit teaches us in James that if you break one law, it's the same as if you've broken it all. Maybe it really was true what we said at the beginning of our worship service. I, a poor, miserable sinner. Kind of gloss over those words, don't we? It's not the end of our text. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's kind of an odd way to change, isn't it? We've been talking about the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and now we're contrasting that, or God is contrasting it for us, with the fruit of the Spirit. You go out to the apple tree to pick an apple. What did you have to do with producing that apple? Well, maybe you watched it grow. Maybe you sprayed a few bugs. My friends, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. It's the gift of the Spirit. And what does that Spirit look like? What does that fruit look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Is there any one of us who could legitimately say, I really don't want more love in my life. I don't want more joy in my life. I don't want more patience in my life. I don't want more self-control. Of course we do. My friends, you cannot resolve to make yourself more joyful. You cannot resolve to make yourself more patient, have more self-control, to be more loving. It's a gift. It is a gift of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, how does the Holy Spirit work in the life of a Christian to produce this fruit? My friends, the answer is clear, and it is taught on nearly every page of God's Word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit strengthens us, produces fruit, gives us encouragement in one way and one way only, and that is the forgiveness of sins. It is the forgiveness of sins that is the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel. Seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Be at peace. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, yeah, like those words are going to give me strength and power. Yes, that's God's promise. That is God's promise to you. This is the Holy Spirit at work. Try to resolve your way to a life of better living, and you will be banging your head against the wall. God's word of law shows us our sin, and it shows us how far we fall short of perfection, the perfection God demands. But God is gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. This is why God sent his Son into the world, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, taking on human flesh and blood, entering our sinful, evil world. Jesus places himself under God's law, and he fulfills it for you. He doesn't sin, not once, not ever. Jesus is perfect for you. The perfect, sinless Son of God takes all of our sin, takes all of our idolatry, takes all of the sinful works of the flesh into himself and onto himself. He bleeds, he dies, he rises. He proclaims peace to the disciples on that first Easter. He proclaims peace to you right here and right now. Not peace like the world gives. Peace that is the forgiveness of sins. This is the power of God for you, the forgiveness of sins, which kills and crushes and crucifies that sinful flesh inside of you. You can't tame it. You can't housebreak it. The only thing that can happen, that needs to happen to that sinful flesh inside of us, is it needs to die. And it doesn't die by your will or resolve. It is the power of God crushing the old Adam inside of us through contrition and repentance and daily rising forth a new person, a new Christian, one that truly desires to be the kind of person that God would be. And as we hear his word, receive his gifts, basking in the glow of forgiveness, God produces fruit, recognizable fruit in our lives. It's not our doing. In the same way that the leper in our story did not cleanse himself. My friends, God's forgiveness, life, and salvation is yours, full and free. pure gift. Pure gift. So, do you need to be perfect to get into heaven? You better believe it. You need to be perfect to get into heaven. And no matter how hard you try, you can't do it on your own. This is where we see most clearly the grace and mercy of our Father in heaven, who gives us his perfect Son. And by his perfect life, his perfect death, and his perfect resurrection, wraps us with the robe of perfection that is Jesus Christ. As we stand before the altar of God, by grace, in faith, God declares us perfect. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. When we want to stand before God with our own works and efforts, we stand naked, bare, and exposed. My friends, today, we have our eyes wide open. We're at war. That war between our flesh, our sinful flesh, which still clings to us and will till the day we die, is in a real and serious battle against the Holy Spirit and the new life that has been created in us. But thanks be to God. Jesus lives. The victory's won. In Christ Jesus, you are victorious and perfect. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to sing and confess as we sing the words of the offertory, "Create in me." Please stand as you're able. Our service continues with the prayers of the church, in addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes. We pray for our former vicar, now Pastor Lawson Short, and Martha Fritz, as they will be married this coming Friday in Minnesota. And we also pray for the family of Good Shepherd member Rachel Smith, whose father, Deputy Troy Bailey, passed away suddenly this week. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the innumerable blessings you have bestowed on us, especially for the revelation of your will and grace in Jesus Christ, your Son. Preserve for your church the pure doctrine of your saving word. Raise up pastors to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. And fill all your baptized children with your Spirit and his fruits. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your mercy, remember the enemies of your church. Grant them repentance and amendment of life, that they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and be joined to the communion of your saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
To all those who have returned to school, give diligence in their studies, respect toward their teachers, and a desire to grow in knowledge. Keep students, teachers, and staff safe from every danger. Bless especially the schools and universities and seminaries of our synod. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for our president, our national and state governments, for our judges, and we pray that they would defend and protect life from the womb to the grave. We give thanks also for all those whose duty it is to protect and serve our world and our community. We especially remember Paris, Ron, Kylan, and Craig. Watch over them as they carry out their duties and protect them and us from violence and every ill. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We implore you to visit the sick, the suffering, the homebound, the grieving, and all who stand in need. Especially this day, we pray for the family of Troy Bailey, Barb, Vern, Roger, Andy, David, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Lynn, Mildred, Brenda, Jim, Sheldon, Victoria, Ron, Janet, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Whatever their trials, have mercy on them and comfort them with the knowledge that nothing can separate them from the love you have for them in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. We ask you to show mercy to Lawson Short, Martha Fritz, as they will be joined together in holy matrimony this coming Friday. Bless them that their love for each other would never grow weary, but deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Bless the home that they are now establishing. May it be a home filled with the power and the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Bless those who approach your holy altar this day, that they would receive in faith and with thanksgiving the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Although we are worthy of none of the things for which we pray, we ask that you would grant them to us all by grace. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Christ, so to you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, oh, Heart now.
that every body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the New Commitment, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
And praise be to God.
Thank you.
Again, welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. Pray for technology during the break between services, would you please? Again, welcome, welcome. Keep Pastor Moline and family in your prayers for safe travel. Thanks to Pastor Russert for helping us out with our worship services for today. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, make sure you grab a set on the way out. Lots of activities happening and picking up again. We're back full swing with our Wednesday evening midweek and confirmation class. Bible 1 and 2 is meeting in the fellowship hall. My catechism classes are meeting in room 109. Worship 6:30 year round, choir after church. All these things are up and running, and we pray God's blessings as we come together in His name to receive His gifts. You're all invited for Bible study right now. There's drinks, no food, but drinks, and just the tables are set up socially distanced, so be respectful of everybody's space. If we need more room, we've got some of the Sunday school rooms set up with closed circuit TV as well. Last week was a holiday week, and so some of our college students were not here. We have college goodie baskets that members of the congregation put together. You're on the honor system, so if you got one last week and you decide to get another one this week, you know, that's between you and the Lord, I guess. But help yourself to the goodies out there. Pastor Moline is working hard with the Sunday evening Bible study. I believe that's going to start next Sunday, and that'll be at the district office. If you're not on the email list, talk to Pastor Moline or our church office, and we'll get you on the email list to make sure that's taken care of. With the Molines gone, we're not having a Sunday school opening singing and all that this morning. That'll be back again next week. And so please join us for family Bible study. If you're staying for Bible study, shoot right in the fellowship hall. If you're not and you want to stand around and visit, that's great. Just ask that you do so outside to keep the space and congestion to a minimum. You know that as we have more and more and more people in church, thanks be to God, what a great blessing, it takes longer and longer and longer in the communion distribution when you're doing one at a time. The elders met this past Wednesday to address that, and we have a plan. Hopefully we'll be able to enact this plan by next Sunday. That's our goal. And we will be inviting people back to the communion rail. We have a large rail where people can socially distance at the rail. And hopefully this will make the distribution go a little faster. And we'll still get to sing plenty of hymns, trust me. But as our next step of trying to return back to normal, That will be our plan. We're hoping for that next Sunday, and keep an eye out on the email announcements that go out, and we'll make sure we'll have diagrams and pictures and all that kind of stuff there. But keep this in your prayers as we want to be faithful in handing out God's gifts, want to be safe and respectful, and at the same time want to do so in a modest and moderate time frame as well. So tough challenge. Keep us in your prayers. Pastor Russert, thank you. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. God's blessings in Christ.